Before we come to the sacrament of baptism, I'd invite you to turn with me to the end of Joshua. Last chapter, Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15 in particular. The scripture says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so ends the reading of God's holy word for us this morning. Thanks be to God. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." These words are perhaps among the most memorable and quoted of the Old Testament, aren't they? I mean, as Robin served in Effort, it was Bethany in Lebanon, which was now long ago. She was given a carving of these words, which is now hanging in our home in Halifax, to which we'll go in retirement before Pastor Rob, as Pastor Rob Dimlin comes here in July. This sampler down at the bottom of our chancel here, it was given to us long ago. I'm not even sure when. It's hung in our house here in Penarjil. Entryway. I don't know if any of y'all have noticed this, but in our entryway over in the Sunday school wing, above the doors, there hangs these same words. They are a rallying cry and a reminder that no matter what the world does or says, we will serve the Lord, right? Amen. Amen. We looked at the opening chapter of Joshua last week, where he sets out to lead his people, Joshua does, across the Jordan into the promised land with these words given to him by the Lord God himself. No one will be able, it says in the fifth verse of chapter 1, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, Joshua. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Notice that. Be strong and courageous. Because you will lead these people, the Israelites, to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. To Moses. And looking back further to Abraham himself, to Father Abraham, the greatest of the patriarchs of the Old Testament. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Now, we're going to Sight and Sound this coming Saturday to see their production of Joshua. They'll be looking at the entirety, I'm sure, of Joshua's life and the many battles and conquests that are recorded in this book as well as, I'm sure, these very words that we're looking at this morning. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This land, the promised land, was occupied by seven major people groups already. The Amorites, let me see if I can get through the pronunciation of these. The Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Jebusites, by the way, you may kind of get a hint of where they lived in the region of Jerusalem itself to become eventually the capital of Israel. To go into all their stories and the conquests of these would lead us astray from the point today. But needless to say, these peoples were not going to give up their land without a fight. And fight they did. Most of the book of Joshua is an account of the various battles that he led the people of Israel in, and conquest of the promised land. There were advances and there were setbacks. There was courage and there was cowardice. Well, never on Joshua's part. He always kept faith and trust that the Lord God was the God of faithfulness to his promises. Was the God whose heavenly hosts, that word simply means the armies of the Lord. In fact, one of the translations nicely puts that clearly. The armies of the Lord were fighting for and with Israel if they kept faith in the Lord God Almighty. And so at last, we come to the end of Joshua. Now, chapter 23, I just invite you to turn there with me briefly. Chapter 23 sets up the farewell address of Joshua and the covenant renewal, which is a part of the 24th chapter, the end. After a long time had passed, this is verse 1. Of 23. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from their enemies around them, the conquest, that is, of those peoples whom were named before. Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, "I'm very old." Tell you, sometimes I'm feeling that way these days. I am very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I've allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain. The nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean. The Jordan on the east, the Mediterranean Sea on the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised. Now, just as an aside, many there are who think that this battle that's going on, the war that is being fought now by Israel, is fulfilling the promise But of course, a nation today is not as the people of Joshua's day. Got to be careful about a misapplication of the scripture. As we look at the nations today and the people of the promise of the days of the scriptures fulfillment. The scripture continues to be very strong in the sixth verse of chapter 23. Be very strong and be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. You know, that's a direct repetition of the beginning of Joshua in chapter 1, verse 7. It continues, do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. This is the word of the Lord, remember, to the people of Israel assembled. And Joshua says, now I am about to go the way of all the earth. In verse 16 of 23, he says, if you violate the covenant of the Lord, your God, which he commanded you through Moses, and now continuing on into Joshua's lifetime, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land, that promised land he has given you. Now, I want you to notice this. There's an if-then characteristic to what Joshua is saying. The Lord God is saying through Joshua about the promise. If you are faithful, then I, the Lord God, will bless you. But if you are not, then I, the Lord God, will not be faithful, so faithful to you. Now, this is an old covenant, isn't it? This is not the new covenant of grace, where the faithfulness of God is from everlasting to everlasting, as the scripture says. But there is a conditionality to this covenant. The Lord's God will burn. The Lord's anger will burn against you. It's interesting in the Hebrew, the word is the Lord's nose will burn. You ever have a runny nose? It feels like I tell you, I got allergies now that are making my nose run. And it's like your nose is burning sometimes. And that's what the Hebrew is connecting with God's anger. Now, fear the Lord and serve Him, Joshua declares. And he declares this to us today as to them, they're assembled before Him. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped and serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. P.T. Forsyth was a 19th century Scottish theologian. He said, the first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, our soul's freedom, but to find our master. Joshua had found his freedom by serving his master, even going to war for his master. In every covenant in the Bible, there's an if, then. Our freedom is in serving Christ, Jesus, our Lord, isn't it? That's the root of our freedom. The if then is clearly stated in the new covenant. You know, we call it the New Testament because it was made with us by the death of Jesus. Every testament requires a death, doesn't it? You think about it. You don't open a will before someone dies, but only after. The testament, the New Testament, was made in the death of Christ himself. And of course, it was sealed for us in the resurrection. The scripture says that resurrection is the first fruits for those who believe. Jesus said in John chapter 8, listen to this. To the Jews who had believed in him, he said, and that's interesting. He said this not to Pharisees who were always quarreling with him, but to the Jews who believed in him. If you abide in my word, he said, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So our foundation of freedom is, here Jesus is saying, in him. And Paul goes on to explain what this freedom in Christ means. He wrote to the Galatians that it wasn't just a license to do whatever we like, whatever feels good, as a bumper sticker I've seen declares. Whatever feels good, do it. I think it goes. But he wrote to the Galatian church. Now listen, Galatia was a whole region. It wasn't just one church. He wrote to us, Grace Church. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. But rather serve one another humbly in love. That's our mission. Christian liberty is not a license for selfish behavior, but an opportunity to serve each other, to serve the world, which doesn't know what true love is, but to serve the world through the love of Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, baptism is a covenant that we're making with God, the same Lord God of the heavenly armies that Joshua made with his people. And especially when a child who is unable to answer for, in this case, herself, Zelie is not able. You're saying, Andrew and Jennifer, you're saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You're making a covenant with God to be faithful to Him and to guard her by faith, by your faith and example, that she may grow up to confess for herself that desire to love God with all her heart, her soul, her mind, her strength, at the day she is able. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's perhaps the shortest confession of faith in the Scriptures. As you believe and as you behave, so we pray. Will Ellie, as you declare it, confess it, believe it, and even more, live it with her, we pray may Ellie truly become a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Christ herself. What's happening here? Yeah, I know about those emergencies. I think they're called blowouts. Well, just listen with me as is taken care of. You know, as Joshua declared, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're doing in baptism. That's what we're doing when we come to church every Sunday. We're renewing the covenant that we've made with God through our Lord Jesus. And so do we all. Let's turn together to the covenant of baptism. Jennifer and Andrew, I invite you to bring Ellie up before us and say, okay, you've got it. Thank you for standing with your sister. You know, we're going to baptize her today into the name of Jesus. And you were baptized when you were a child, just like she. And at the day that you're able to take those vows for yourself that I will serve the Lord, then you will be a disciple of Christ, just like all of us. Yeah. Let's have those who are just sponsoring able to bring up Ellie in case of some misfortune that we truly pray will not happen. Brothers and sisters, the church is of God and will be preserved to the end of time for the conduct of worship, the due administration of God's word and sacraments, the maintenance of our Christian fellowship together, and discipline, the edification of believers, and the conversion of the world as we in mission join together and speak in Christ to a world that hurts and needs saving grace. All of every age and station stand in need of the means of grace which Christ alone and His church supplies. Dearly beloved, baptism, Andrew and Jennifer, is an outward sign of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that grace, we become partakers of His righteousness and heirs of life eternal. Those receiving the sacrament are through it, through the water applied, signifying the blood of Jesus Himself. They're marked as Christian disciples and initiated into the fellowship of Christ's holy church. Our Lord has expressly given to little children a place among the people of God, which holy privilege must not be denied them. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when He said, "Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." And so I ask you now, in the presence of God in this congregation, I ask you to renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptisms, and you as well. Do you, in the presence of God in this congregation, renew that solemn vow and promise? Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Will you endeavor to live a life before God that becomes, is worthy of the gospel? Yeah, that's what we all do by the grace of God. Congregation, people together, let's stand together as we all join in professing the Christian faith, as it's contained in the Old and New Testaments of the Scriptures. And this is in a question and answer form, which comes from the earliest times of the church as this creed was used in baptisms. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended to the dead. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. She's very good. I don't care. I've handled many a baby. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Join me over here. Okay. It's okay. These waters, they signify for us all the waters of our birth, the waters of the covenant made with Noah, the waters of our baptism. The waters that wash us from sin. For they signify the blood of Christ as well. And in the ancient church, they were living waters. Waters of that were running. Maybe in a creek. Maybe in a river, or maybe in some pond, because it signified the moving of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us. And so, L. Catherine Garrison, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, I know, Ellie, but you got to feel it. You got to feel it. Because it's how we feel when God works among us, right? And the Holy Spirit, may He work within you. That being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Yikes! I can see. I was blind, but now I see. Members of the household of God, I commend this child to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit bless and preserve and keep you now and forevermore. Amen. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, may He establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. This child has smiled at me, has grabbed about everything that she can up here, which is great. A curious child. Let's welcome our sister in Christ, Ellie Catherine. They're clapping for you. You think I stole her? You're cute. There you go, Dad.
You gotta let go of that now.
I'll take that. Oh, here's her certificate of baptism. It needs two witnesses. You're probably the godparents would be the best. Yeah. So as I was thinking about this service, I thought the best place to pass the peace with each other would be right now, so we can welcome her, all of us. Peace be with you all.